First, the countdown to the opening of Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art is no longer being measured in months, but days.
We're here to introduce you to Crystal Bridges and to welcome any questions that you may have.
Yesterday, Don Bacigalupi, the executive director of Crystal Bridges, and Alice Walton, the woman who first dreamed of the museum, met reporters just 19 days before the doors will open to the public for the first time. Not everything is where it will be when the museum is finished. Much, but not all of the art is installed. The ceiling and floor in the auditorium called the Great Hall, not quite finished, and the small lake that will fill the inside of the campus hasn't been completed. Still, Don Bacigalupi says construction is about 98% done, and Alice Walton says the work is continuing literally day and night.
We have, I can't believe we've gotten so close and gotten to where we are, but we've just said what the good Lord allows us to get done, we're going to get done, and we are here for the 11th.
Plenty of people are ready for the 11th. More than 5,000 memberships have already been purchased. That's a significant number considering museums that the staff considers peers, like the Smithsonian American Art Museum, have membership rolls around 1,500. Admission to Crystal Bridges will be free, but attendance will be capped daily so those looking at the art have a chance to see it in a calm fashion. After just a few weeks, more than 10,000 requests for such reserved spots have already been received. Alice Walton says the excitement surrounding the project has been a mild surprise.
I guess I didn't know, but I never expected people to be so excited. It's not that I didn't expect them to be excited. I never thought about it. And so to see people so excited about it and so looking forward to it is the greatest delight.
With great anticipation comes great responsibility. Don Bacigalupi says curators and staff are determined to take the rare opportunity of a major museum opening to tell stories that haven't been told often before, such as the story of women in American art.
It's a story that isn't well told. It wasn't historically well told. It wasn't maybe historically well known. And so I think because we're a museum of the 21st century, we've been able to avail ourselves of newer research and new scholarship about the role of women.
The galleries include examples of and literature about women as artists, patrons of art, subjects, and champions of American art. Consider Janet Sobel, an immigrant to the U.S. from Ukraine in the 1920s. She raised a family in Brooklyn, painting on the floor when she could, using her son's school art supplies. She did visit New York galleries, and in 1945, Peggy Guggenheim gave her an exhibition.
And it was a revelation. It was this person who had been working in her living room, being thrust onto the main stage of American art in the most progressive gallery in the country. And Clement Greenberg, who was probably the most important critic of the 20th century, took Jackson Pollock, then a very young but important up-and-coming painter, to see this exhibition. And they both declared that this was the most progressive, most modern painting they'd ever seen. Well, it happened that Janet Sobel had developed a technique of dripping paint, pouring paint on a canvas on the floor, which impressed Pollock so much that by the next year, Pollock was painting his own drip paintings. Now, Pollock went on to become, as Life magazine called him, the most important artist of the 20th century, and yet no one tells the story of where that inspiration came from for that great breakthrough in art history, that of the poured paint, the drip paint style. And Sobel got relegated then to the bywaters or the footnotes of American art history, when in fact she played perhaps a very important pivotal role in the development of American art. So to be able to show her work in a gallery with Jackson Pollock and show her work with some of the great achievements that she made in her living room is really, I think, an update of the story of American art that we all don't share yet, and I think we certainly should.
The third word in the museum's name, American, allows for plenty of room for conversation, speculation, and reflection. Alice Walton says she wants visitors to have a deeper sense of an American identity after time inside the galleries. She says she's always been a history buff.
My sense of American history and feel for American history has totally changed through the process of getting to know art and American art. And I feel so much closer to the social currents, the political currents that occurred at various points in time, all the contentious wars and the viewpoints on each side, which, you know, artists love to expound on. But I hope that that's what people bring away, is for a sense of the background and the times and the culture and the politics, how this country really came together. Because that's what it's done for me, and that's what really has brought things alive.
Don Bacigalupi says the staff wants the Crystal Bridges experience to offer unexpected moments or revelations, to have art complement life and history. Surprises have already been a part of the creation of Crystal Bridges. Previously unexplored caverns beneath the family land Alice Walton designated for the museum, unexpected springs gushing with life after strong rainstorms, and a 19th century work of art by Thomas Moran, thought by many to have been lost.
It was recorded in the literature as being a lost painting. It was known but then disappeared. And what that ultimately meant was that it was hanging in a home in Springdale, Arkansas. So the East Coast establishment didn't recognize that a painting in Arkansas wasn't lost. It was just hanging in a collector's home. And so that painting is now in the museum's collection. It's lived in Northwest Arkansas for now 60 years, but it's now on public view, which is a wonderful thing. And that's something that a museum like this can do, is take works of art that are in private hands and not seen by very many people and make them available to thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people. So it's a great step forward in terms of the availability of art.
This was one of the really exciting finds, you know, that you hope for in a process like this. But the painting was actually behind Harvey and Bernice Jones's sofa 40-something years.
None of the work included in Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art is thought to be lost now. Recent stories in the New York Times, Washington Post, Architectural Record, and the Chronicle of Philanthropy have examined the museum's collection, mission, and architecture. Monday's invited press included the Dallas Morning News, the Kansas City Star, and CBS Sunday Morning. Alice Walton was asked if she had thought about the national and international press being received and how that coverage might alter what some outsiders think of the Ozarks and Arkansas.
I have. It's not the primary motivation for the museum at all, but I have always had great pride in being from here. And I hope that Crystal Bridges becomes a part of that increased pride in the region you know, as we compare ourselves with other parts of the country.
Alice Walton speaking with reporters at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art yesterday in Bentonville. If you'd like to see a video of the question and answer session, you can go to our website, OzarksAtLarge.com. And we'll have more from Crystal Bridges, including highlights from a tour of the galleries on Thursday's edition of Ozarks at Large.